Welcome to the final episode of the Inside the Huddle podcast for this first quarter of the 2020-2021 school year. This week, we have a lot in store for you guys. Some tennis interviews along with, going to switch it up a little bit, putting in the marching band, giving them a little bit of a spotlight, and then as well, kind of a first take style discussion between Isaiah and myself, Colin Eccles, over racing. We don't talk too much about car racing at all, really motorsports in general. So we wanted to kind of highlight on that and see what you guys think. If you guys do enjoy this type of content, make sure you shoot us a tweet or a DM on Instagram or Twitter at 91.1 WEDM for both of those. We'd love to hear your feedback. So yeah, sit back, relax, grab a snack or two, and tune in for this episode of the Inside the Huddle podcast, only on the Sports Voice of your Warren Central Warriors, 91.1 WEDM.
This is 91.1 WEDM. I'm DJ Kanye, joining you all today for a quick interview. And in the studio today with me, we have a special guest, and I'm going to go ahead and let him introduce himself.
Hey, my name is Will Matchett, and I'm on the tennis team here at Warren.
All right, nice to meet you, you know, Will. And, you know, how you feeling today? Feeling good?
Feeling good. Just getting ready to go to practice. You know, just have that good energy going.
All right, I'm glad to hear that, man. So, okay, you already told the people what you play. So, what's your record so far this season?
I'm not particularly sure, but I'm not really keeping track of that right now. Just moving on to the next match, and it's not the best, not the worst, but it could always be better.
Like, have y'all been winning more than y'all been losing?
No. I think we're more in the losing column right now, but we're trying to get back on track.
Okay. Now we got introduction out of the way. Let's talk about, you know, just pandemic related things, because mm-hmm. that's the big elephant in the room. So, like, with the pandemic, like, ranging on, like, what's the mindset of the team right now?
Well, right now, it hasn't been affecting us too much, but I would say, you know, we're just trying to keep our distance, and I don't know, we just get out there on the court and put in the work and just see what happens. I don't know.
Okay. So to move on, to talk more, to get the point more, like, you know, in there, how has the pandemic affected the offseason that y'all had compared to, like, you know, last year when we didn't have to deal with all this?
Well, big part, we didn't have a coach for, I think, a 4-week stretch. So we were coachless and we were kind of working on our own. So, I mean, nothing really with the pandemic, but I guess different from last year. That was probably the biggest difference, not having a coach for 4 weeks. And once we got our coach in, we just got right back to work and we've been making big progress.
Oh, so just to go in on the coach, because you guys was coachless, mm-hmm. like, first off, yo, coach, what was his previous experience before he came here, and what's his name? So everybody here at Warren Central, we can know who coached tennis.
Yeah, so his name is Coach Pride, and he came from New Hampshire. He worked at the Tennis Hall of Fame, and, yeah, he's pretty big time.
All right, so he's qualified for the job, so
yeah,
to speak.
Yeah, we're happy to have him here.
Okay, I can feel that. And so with, like, social distancing and, like, all these other regulations in the way, like, how different has practice been compared to when we didn't have to deal with all this again?
Well, since it's kind of a short group and a small group between us, we only have 8 guys on the team, so we aren't, like, super worried about, you know, we have to be super spread out just because it's only 8 of us, so we've been pretty close and getting to know each other, but it's been the same, just doing drills, and I mean, we're usually pretty spread out when we're hitting, so nothing major.
Okay. Now that we, like, covered, like, pandemic related things, let's get into some personal stuff and, like, you know, some team focused questions. And you know, so as a player this season, like, what's your number one goal that you want to be working towards accomplishing for this season?
Well, in my 4 years here, I haven't made it past the first round of sectionals. So this year, that's pretty much my main goal, just getting past that first round and maybe even winning sectionals as a team or as a doubles one. So Yeah, that's probably been my main goal from the start.
Okay, that's nice to hear.
Yeah.
And what are some weaknesses in your game that like you plan to like iron out this season, so to speak?
Well, I've usually had a pretty weak backhand, and that's one of the things that Coach Pride and our 8 assistant coaches have been working on with me. So, yeah, we have a lot of guys helping me out, and that's one thing that's gotten improved so much this season. And probably another part of my overheads, just putting the ball away, and my hustle's there, my athleticism there. It's just more of the small things and the technique.
Okay, so like fundamentals, basically.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So now on the flip side, what are some strengths in your game that you would like to keep, you know, quote unquote, sharp this season?
Well, I, as my coach says, I never let a ball touch the ground. So, I mean, I'm diving all over the place for the ball, scratching up my knees, whatever. But, yeah, I think my forehand is pretty strong and my serve has gotten a lot better. So those are a couple of my strong points in my game.
Okay, now to get like more team focused, and I'm gonna keep this one simple. What's the main expectations that like you guys have set for yourselves for this season?
Well, so far, it's been a decline from last season, unfortunately. But I mean, we did have a coaching change up, so you know, there's a little room to
improve.
So, I'd say, I mean, obviously we have to get through sectionals first, so that's our main goal. And once the playoffs hit, then we just have to have that mentality of keep pushing through. Let's do it for me, the other senior, Joseph. I mean, it's our last hoorah. So
last dance.
Yeah, it's our last dance, so we got to make it count.
Yeah. I don't mean to keep hopping back on the place, but, like, I just know what you said about, like, coaching change.
Mm-hmm.
You know, how is the coach from this year different from the ones you guys had previously?
So this would be my 3rd head coach in my 4 years, which sounds something like that would happen in like the NBA or the NFL or something like that. Not high school, but I think this coach this year, he's been a lot more involved in making us better as a team and individuals. Like I said, he's been bringing in like a bunch of assistants. He has like 8 to 10 of them, and he works at the Indianapolis Healthplex. So when he can't make it to practice, he has his assistant coaches there. So I mean, that just it's been huge to have him and his assistants there. In the past years, I mean, we've just had head coach and an assistant, and last year just the head coach. So yeah, just big changes here at Warren in tennis.
Okay, that's nice to hear. So, like, right now, are there any teams on y'all's schedule that, like, y'all looking forward to that game? Like, just you hyped to play them, like a Carmel or, you know, like any rivals that y'all just this year you want to play them and you want to beat them?
Yeah. So we are coming to the end of our season, but we have Lawrence North coming up. They're always a tough matchup, and they're a potential matchup in sectional, so we always like to see what they have and bring to the table. But for the most part, I think we all look forward to really any match, but I don't think we really have anybody that we despise or, you know, we have hatred against, but, yeah, no team that we really like or we just dislike. I mean,
so it's a game to game basically.
Yeah.
Basically.
Yeah.
Okay.
But obviously, Carmel's one of those people that they're
man.
Just so good, and I don't know, we never have.
They got the boys down on their back.
Yeah, we never have the advantage over them.
Yeah. All right, so seeing how this is your last year with you being a senior and all, you know, how has your role with the team changed? Like, for instance, have you taken up, like, a leadership role or something similar to that? Like, you know, what's that been like?
Yeah, well, I feel like ever since last year, I feel like I've been one of the main leaders on the team. They always call me the hype man. So, yeah, I feel like I've had the role of being just a big leader on this team and getting the young guns ready to come up and, make a difference in this program.
Okay. And, you know, in your opinion, you know, like the new people that have joined the team this year, now, how well have they adjusted to, like, the team and everything else?
Yeah, it's been great. We have three new guys that have come in, and yeah, they've just been great. Looking at last year, we had one freshman, and it wasn't the best go around, but I know we've got three guys now, and yeah, they've made a huge difference on our team, and they've been putting in a lot of work. So, I mean, if they just keep that up, then these next few years for them will look really good.
Okay. And last question, seeing how, like I said earlier, final season, man, what is the main thing that you want to accomplish before you graduate? Like, what's the mark do you want to leave on this team?
Yeah, that's tough. I mean, yeah, so we as a team just, I don't know, we haven't been very successful in some of these tournaments and the playoffs and county and so forth and so on. But yeah, like I said, I mean, just that getting past that first round in sectionals, I think that just means so much to me. Just haven't been able to get it. Last year was really close on doubles one, but I think this year we've beat two of the three teams that we've that we potentially play in sectionals. So I think it's looking pretty good for our team.
Okay, that sounds good. And unfortunately, that is the end of this interview that we had today. You know, I want to thank you for coming out and speaking to me today. And I'd be glad to have you again, man. I'd be glad.
Awesome. So, yeah, thank you for having me.
All right. Remember, everybody, this is 91.1 WEDM.
Welcome back to another episode of Inside the Huddle. You're with Stefan, and today we're with Christian. How are you doing today, Christian?
I'm doing pretty good. How are you doing?
Good. Now, Christian is a marching band member, so I just wanted to bring him in and ask him a couple questions. So my first question for you, Christian, is what instrument do you play and how did you learn to play it?
It's sort of an interesting story for me. I played the trumpet, and coming into high school, I'd never played band before. So in my freshman year, it was definitely a struggle to learn how to play the trumpet, but it worked out for me. And then I also learned how to play the French horn for marching band.
Okay, and for people who want to join, like, marching band but aren't really good at, not really good at their instrument that they're playing now, what advice do you have to them? Like, do you know any good companies or places where they teach people how to better their music abilities and, like, become a better music player?
I think you might want to get a little tutor for your instrument. I didn't do that. Honestly, I think YouTube is a really good help and a free help for that because that's what I did. Mainly just stick at it. Don't give up, especially when things get tough, because I was on the brink of that, but I'm glad I didn't because it definitely helped me blossom.
Now, do you guys go on a lot of trips? I know because of COVID and stuff that it kind of got knocked down because you guys can't travel as much as you guys used to, but where's your favorite places to go to, like, play against other teams and just to go in general?
Well, normally we are... I think 3 years ago, whatever it was, we took a trip to Florida. And then the year after that, we took a trip to Chicago. Then we did a 1 day to Ohio. We were originally supposed to do Florida again this year, but that got canceled because of COVID. But normally we just go around to the same group of high schools every year. We got Zionsville. There's one at Ben Davis. We were supposed to have a competition at Warren Central, but it's definitely just like going around the state doing different competitions and performances.
Do you plan on, like, playing music in college as well, or do you just want to quit after high school?
That was something that I've been sort of dealing with a lot recently, trying to figure it out. I definitely have thought about it, especially with marching band, but I think I might just stop marching band, but definitely try to maybe keep my skills up after, or maybe just do the pep band type stuff in college.
Do you plan on, like, teaching music to anybody one day, or just not really?
I definitely don't think I'm at the skill level to be able to teach. I wish I could be, but I don't think I'd be a good teacher.
How has COVID affected you personally, and how has it affected, like, the season, like, how the season went and stuff?
I think it definitely came out of nowhere. I wanted to end my previous junior year off normally and see all my class of 2020 friends graduate the right way, but, you know, can't always have things go the way we want. But for marching band this year, it's definitely interesting. We have to wear our mask a lot, which is great and smart idea, but we still get performances going and everything. We aren't able to have the football experience as much. We normally just do halftime rather than performing the Star Spangled Banner and being in the seating. And we don't get to take any trips out of state, sort of like the football team. So it's just, it's normal marching band, but just restricted in a way. And I think having it be my senior year, I don't like it being that way, but I'd rather have a marching band season like this compared to nothing at all.
Well, we know that you play instruments, of course, but do you have any like favorite players or musicians, so to say, that you like look up to for motivation or that you just really like?
I guess the go-to answer since I play trumpet would be Louis Armstrong, but I guess I'd mainly just say band in general has helped me appreciate music for what it is, and I consider myself a big Drake guy. A lot of his music and other people obviously have a lot of just little things in their songs that you can just appreciate and be like, oh, I didn't notice that before. Just it's really a hidden gem that can really turn the tide and make you love a song rather than maybe the actual main thing it's supposed to be liked for.
Do you like making music as well? Not just only with instruments, but like singing, rapping, like things like that, making beats, because you mentioned Drake in there. So I don't know. Yeah. You like making music?
Since eighth grade, I believe I've sort of been making joke rap stuff, which is always fun for me. I don't really try to go like big from that, but it's always something that it's fun for me to be able to do and just say like, oh, I've made some rap songs, and I even picked it back up. I've made one recently and I'm doing it for Wake Up Warren. It's about COVID.
Would you consider like doing it full time one day, or do you just want to do it for fun?
I'd say fun for now, unless something goes big. But I think I would sort of be foolish to try to go super hard on it right now, especially since I know I don't really wish for that, or I don't think I have the talents to go big as an instrument or as a musician.
Well, thank you, Christian, for joining here today, joining us here today. And we'll be back next week for another episode, guys. Thank you, Christian.
Thank you.
Welcome back to another episode of the Inside the Huddle podcast. As always, it is yours truly, the one, the only, Colin Echols, bringing you more content. And again, I am joined today by one of my very special co-hosts, Isaiah Hoffman.
Hello, hello.
Well, you guys normally hear me calling football games with, but we're going to switch it up and kind of move away from the football scene to something I don't believe we've ever talked about on Inside the Huddle.
If anything, very little. Very, 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 very little time we've talked about this. But it's gotten a lot of publicity in the last few weeks
very
and
true.
Months.
And that is racing.
Yeah.
Racing in general. You know, we're kind of going to bounce around between the three big major circuits, that being IndyCar, which we'll probably cover the least because I don't believe either of us really follow IndyCar too much.
I think you look at the biggest things that have happened already this year. NASCAR and IndyCar, they shared the Indianapolis Motor Speedway a few yes. months ago. And NASCAR, this is the biggest free agency they've had in a while.
Yes.
Which, you know, you never really talk about motorsports free agency. You hear that a lot in F1, but you don't hear that much in NASCAR. So
F1 will be a big one that we cover too. So for those of you that are not familiar with these three types of racing, Formula One is your more it's more of an overseas style of racing, open wheel,
more
essentially an Indy car on steroids.
A lot more single file, not much passing like you see in Indy car and NASCAR.
Yeah, it's a very different style of racing. A very I guess you could call it, you know, some people would call it a bougie style of racing. It's a very high-end, luxurious
racing. It's more of a, you need money to win. If you have the money and you have
yes.
the resources and you have the sponsorship, you're going to be the most, you're going to be the best team on the grid.
And you also have to have a successful driver to put with that too.
Yeah.
IndyCar, for those of you, if you guys live under a rock in Indianapolis and don't know that we have the Indy 500 every year, I'm sorry. I don't know what to say about that, but
you can definitely say IndyCar is pretty much, when it comes to Indianapolis, it's the crown jewel in the Indianapolis 500. It's the crown jewel in motorsports, probably besides
yes.
the 24 Hours of Le Mans, and I'd want to say Monaco, because Monaco's
a big one. The Daytona 500 is a big one.
Yeah.
There's a lot of big races that go on in the world, but
you should, everyone should know NASCAR.
The Indy,
not
the Indy 500 though, greatest spectacle in racing. It's literally called the greatest spectacle in racing for a reason. IndyCar is a basically...
I can give you a pass on IndyCar, but I can't... A lot of people should know who a NASCAR is more than IndyCar.
Yeah. IndyCar, though, essentially is a... I would call it almost a hybrid of NASCAR and Formula One. Mm-hmm. Being that NASCAR primarily sticks to oval-style tracks. IndyCar does some oval-style tracks. They also do a good amount of road courses, which is all of it.
They've also announced a street course in Nashville next year.
That could be pretty cool. But that is all that Formula One does is street courses and road courses. They don't do anything that's just in an oval. And then, of course, you have NASCAR, your fender, closed-wheel, stock car racing, which I don't know if you can tell by the tone of my voice, is not my favorite style of racing. But still, three very competitive sports and three sports that personally coming into this episode I didn't feel like got enough spotlight. So we want to give them some spotlight. And
they've had a big year.
They have had a big year. Ratings are very high for motorsports this year.
This pandemic really shined a light on motorsports, and I think you also it shined a huge light on motorsports. And I want to say also the UFC, but this isn't about the UFC.
Right.
This is about motorsports. They've gotten a huge ratings boost. IndyCar, not really, but you look at NASCAR, they've been in that 3.5, 4 million range viewership-wise around this pandemic. And a little after this pandemic, they've even been able to grab some new fans. I know I've kind of got back into the sport ever since, you know, the pandemic happened, so... And I've been a long time fan.
And for a lot of people, too, I think the biggest reason that NASCAR and IndyCar and Formula One and really just racing in general has gone through the roof in ratings is because during this pandemic, you know, we lost baseball, basketball, football, hockey, soccer. We lost a lot of big major sports. And racing was kind of the only thing that was on for a lot of the time. So I think a lot of people just looking for some sort of sports to watch finally tuned into some racing, but
and you also look at you look at this pandemic created a new star in NASCAR with Bubba Wallace, due to the Black Lives Matter protests,
And
him being one of the major ones that even got the Confederate flag banned from all races, at NASCAR events. They've kind of created their new star, so you love to see that because it's a big thing. You lose Jeff Gordon, you lose Dale Earnhardt, Tony Stewart, now Jimmy Johnson this coming season. And now you have that star. You have Bill Elliott's son, Chase Elliott. So there's a lot of new stars coming into the sports.
Definitely.
And now you got a new one.
And with that being said, let's kind of move into talking about NASCAR. We'll work our way from NASCAR to IndyCar to Formula One. So for NASCAR, like you said, a lot of new stars coming out. Bubba Wallace probably being the newest. He's kind of always been kind of in the scene. Of a NASCAR driver, but just recently, like you said, he's blown up. And another big move that he is making is he is leaving, Hendrick Motorsports?
He'll be leaving Richard Petty Motorsports. If you know NASCAR well, Richard Petty, the king, the first ever seven-time champion of the sport, his racing company is Bubba Wallace is leaving that, and Bubba Wallace carries a lot of sponsorship money. And compared to the other two sports, because F1, you know, they get money a lot. But NASCAR's main money is TV deals and sponsorship money.
Yes.
So you want to get drivers that have that sponsorship. Bubba Wallace was probably one of the biggest free agents to get. And Richard Petty Motorsports did all they could. They threw a lot of ownership of Richard Petty Motorsports to Bubba Wallace. They were going to give him ownership of Richard Petty Motorsports.
I believe he had
a good percentage. I don't know. There's no number.
So basically, the way that ownership of cars works is not only do the teams own a portion of the cars, but as well as some of the drivers do own, some percentage of the cars. And one of the most notorious drivers for doing that is Jeff Gordon. I believe when he was still racing, he owned upwards of 50% of not only his car, but also the cars of Casey Kane and Jimmy Johnson, who were his teammates at the time.
Did he have Dale Earnhardt's? Because Earnhardt had 88.
I think he owned a piece.
I'd be surprised if he had Dale's.
Dale Earnhardt's, I believe, was owned.
Because Dale was recruited by Hendrick.
Yeah, I think that Jeff Gordon owned, if anything, I think it was less than a third of his car. So Jeff Gordon was notorious for being very smart about how he invested his money into his teammates' cars, and being that his teammates were on top of the game while he was racing along with himself, he was making some serious cash with that. But back over to Bubba Wallace, leaving Richard Petty, kind of leaving Richard Petty out to dry, and now moving to a team that is between the combined efforts of NBA legend and greatest NBA player of all time, Michael Jordan, along with Denny Hamlin.
Yeah, and this was, so this is, a lot of people, like, they read this news story and they think, who's Denny Hamlin? Like, you know Michael Jordan, but you don't know Denny Hamlin.
Right.
So the story for those two, Denny Hamlin, he said, he even talked about it. I forgot where I read it from, but he's known Jordan for, I believe, like 11 or 7 years. And Jordan's always been interested in the sport. And Hamlin was looking to buy, because I forgot, they're buying Germain Racing. So they're buying the charter and everything that goes with Germain Racing after this season to make this team. Michael Jordan is going to be the half owner of the charter, but he's going to buy the charter, like, for Hamlin and all, and to hire the team.
Right.
Hamlin will do most of the racing things. So for Hamlin, he will be the owner, but he will also be driving at Joe Gibbs, which is pretty crazy that they're allowing it, but it's also not, because we've seen this kind of happen before. So it's pretty interesting. I'm excited to see how this team does, knowing Bubba Wallace is going to be the only driver for that team until Hamlin jumps from Joe Gibbs over to his own team. And I'm wondering what the name's going to be called. I don't think...
Michael Jordan Racing. I love it. People, I love it already.
A lot of people, you know, they want to say, is it going to be Hamlin Jordan Racing? Because you can't leave out the half. You can't leave out the other owner of the team.
Jumpman NASCAR Racing.
It's going to be interesting. I just think I want to see how this team does, but more importantly, because I think they're going to be a good team. I think they're going to be. I don't know if they're going to be a top contending team next year, which I don't think they will. I think they'll win races, maybe one or two. But that's about it. We'll see how it goes, because it's going to be huge. I mean, Bubba Wallace has so much sponsorship money, so much sponsorship dollars. Yeah, it's ridiculous.
Yeah, Michael Jordan and Denny Hamlin made a big, big play. And a very smart investment at that, in signing Bubba Wallace as a driver.
And the timing.
Yeah, I think it's all a very good move on Michael Jordan's part. Michael Jordan, not necessarily the most outspoken member of the Black Lives Matter celebrity kind of movement, I guess.
That's also one of the reasons he's done
a big, big part, a little bit more kind of behind the scenes, I personally feel like. But he's done a big, big part, and he's been a very strong impact in this movement. And as has Bubba Wallace, and I think combining those two together and putting them on their own racing team, not only is going to be another big push in this movement as well, and have a big effect, but I think at the same time that those two going together, they're just going to be a force to be reckoned with in all aspects in the coming years.
Yeah, you want to see Bubba Wallace perform, but I feel like if you're NASCAR, you really want Bubba Wallace to perform, because you have a chance to make a star here. You have a chance to make a huge star out of Bubba Wallace. So it's going to be interesting to see how he does. He has talent. Just, you're getting put in what could be one of the top NASCARs in NASCAR. So, I mean, you gotta perform now. You know, but Richard Petty Motorsports was a middle-of-the-pack team. They were always a middle-of-the-pack team. You have a team that has so much money, so much resources behind you, along with Joe Gibbs partnering with this, kind of like helping them out. You should be a contender in the next 2 years. But I think it's so weird. Why didn't they wait for the next gen car? Because the next gen car was supposed to come out for the next season, 2021, but they've had to delay it for 2022, just like F1's delayed the salary cap rule for 2022.
Right.
So it's interesting, because Wallace had an offer from Chip Ganassi, and if you know Chip Ganassi, they're IndyCar. They have Kurt Busch, used to have Kyle Larson, and we'll get into him for a minute, because it's rumored he's going to get reinstated very soon.
Yes.
So, and it's going to be interesting.
That's a big move as well, with Kyle Larson being reinstated. And, I think that's honestly probably just the biggest thing with him, is getting him reinstated, getting him back out there on the track. But,
there's a lot of rumors on where he wants and where he needs to go. And I think one of the interesting ones is Tony Stewart, Stewart Haas Racing.
Yes.
He wants him reinstated. And that kind of, because Clint Bowyer, he's rumored to retire as well this year.
Bowyer.
Is Stewart impending? He wants Larson reinstated so he can sign Kyle Larson. Because Kyle Larson, no one really follows the dirt tracks and dirt scene. He has not lost a race since he was not, since
you better knock on wood right now for that man. Knock on wood right now. That's that announcer, James.
Has not lost a single race since being on dirt. He's gotten first place all across the world on dirt. We're going to see if he gets reinstated. And then you also have, will he get the 48 ride? The prestigious Hendrick Motorsports 48 ride that a lot of people are calling for the number to get retired.
Personally, I feel like it should get retired. But
I thought Gordon's number should have gotten retired.
It should have. There's a lot of great drivers that haven't had their numbers retired yet. But speaking of the 48 car, Jimmy Johnson. We'll make the transition from NASCAR to IndyCar. Jimmy Johnson moving his way into the IndyCar circuit away from NASCAR closed wheel fender racing to open wheel real racing.
So this is an interesting one. So the contract he will be going to Chip Ganassi. He's going to be racing IndyCar and Chip Ganassi.
Yes, sir.
He's going to be doing no ovals. It will only be street courses and road courses he's going to do.
Which is interesting because coming from a racing circuit where you primarily do ovals and where that was kind of his bread
for him,
and butter.
So he's talked about how this was a family decision. He had to convince a lot of his family to get this deal done. And one of the biggest ones was do not race ovals. And I think for him, that was a safety concern. And IndyCar, credit to them, they have done a lot to minimize that, but there is still a lot of safety concerns when you're racing ovals in IndyCars. That's why you don't see F1 cars on ovals, because if that happens, that could be so bad. The injuries could be bad.
The issue with putting an F1 car, before we get too much into F1 car, Formula One is, if you look at the two cars between them and IndyCar, they are built very similar. They have kind of the same basic shape. But
they're different in a lot of ways.
They are very different. There's a lot more technology in an F1 car. F1 cars are a whole lot lighter, have a whole lot more power, and they go a whole lot faster. If you put one of those cars, that can go upwards of 270, close to 300 miles an hour on a short straight. If you put them on an oval where they just have 2.5 miles of straight pedal to the metal, floor it, let's go.
And then you got
to
turn.
And then you got to turn.
It's not going to work out well.
That car is going to come up off the track and turn into a small private jet. And I know we're sitting back here joking around and laughing about this but
it's serious stuff.
If that happens, it can be a very serious accident. And
that's why I understand why Jimmy didn't do that.
Yeah, I think it's a very smart move on his part.
Now, it could also be, maybe it's just a test run. Let's try out the road courses because, you know, NASCAR only has two road courses. But with the rumors coming out, I believe 2 days ago, that they may be getting Circuit of the Americas, which is primarily an F1 course, they could be adding that to the schedule. So he's only raced about two road courses per season in his career. So you're getting a lot more added to your schedule when you move to IndyCar next year. So we're going to see how he does. So maybe this is a test run for him to do full seasons. But as of right now, it is only looking like he's doing road courses and street courses for, I believe, the next, maybe this year and then next year, or I don't know. All I know is for the next 2 years, he will just be doing street courses and road courses.
And again, I think that is a very, very smart move on his part.
And Chip Ganassi's. You get a lot of sponsorship from Ally Bank.
Yeah, you get a lot signing with Chip Ganassi, but I think it's also a smart decision for Chip Ganassi Racing to allow him to just do those road courses, mainly because he is going to, in my opinion, turn into one of their fan favorite drivers, simply because he's going to bring that crowd of NASCAR fans with him and that loyal following that he has.
I'm going to be watching it this next year.
He's going to bring that following to IndyCar, and I think keeping him safe and keeping him out there on the track is definitely going to not only boost the Chip Ganassi status, but I think it's going to boost IndyCar status in general.
And you got to give IndyCar credit. Roger Penske, of course, buying the Indianapolis Motor Speedway in IndyCar last year.
Smart move.
And I think IndyCar, they've really capitalized on bringing other racers from other sports. Fernando Alonso from F1, they brought him in to race the Indy 500. He brought in a lot of F1 fans due to that. And then they pull Jimmy Johnson away from that. Well, not really pulled him away. He was going to retire
because
he wanted to try out other things. But then you get him. You get guys from IMSA, which is kind of like your it's like your street cars, but they're turned into race cars. That's what IMSA is. They're probably the fourth most popular racing series.
That's your 24-hour Day Le Mans type
race. If you know the Rolex 24 at Daytona, that is what IMSA is. You've got Lamborghini, Porsche, a lot of the big manufacturers are in IMSA.
Fancy high-end cars turned into even more race car type things.
I'd probably say not really stock cars, but they're definitely they're not because you have certain types that go a certain speed because you have certain classes.
It's a whole different
breed. I've watched it. It's very entertaining.
It's a different breed of racing on its own. But again, kind of moving away from that into IndyCar. I think Jimmy Johnson is really kind of just the biggest thing going on with IndyCar right now, honestly. Not too much news. I don't follow IndyCar per se.
I don't either. The big news for them right now is Scott Dixon started off the season with three wins in a row.
Mm-hmm.
That's the big news coming out of there. So, yeah, we kind of got to wait. For me, I think the big news for motorsports is, can we get to 2022? Can we get to the new cars? Because NASCAR's got a new car coming out. F1's got new cars and rules coming out. You guys have already had a big free agency this year. And
ooh, don't get me started. Okay, so
it's going to be crazy.
Yeah, he says you guys, F1 is my bread and butter. I love F1. I've been watching F1. I've got pictures of me watching F1 races with my dad when I was a baby. I've been to F1 races, all different types of stuff. F1 is just my...
You've been to F1 races?
Back when they were in Indianapolis, I used to go to F1 races every year.
Oh, wow.
So it's been a long time ago. I'm talking about like pre-2010.
I'm more of the NASCAR guy. From kindergarten to seventh grade, we didn't go nowhere on Sundays.
Fun fact, I've actually been to every single racing event at Indianapolis Motor Speedway except for the new Red Bull airplane races that they have.
Wow. I've been to two Brickyards, and Jimmy won the first one I went to, so I was pretty thrilled about that.
Been to two Brickyards, the Angie's List Grand Prix or whatever that they have for IndyCar, the new road course.
Personally, you remember the short track that they used to have? They were called the Nationwide Series. You remember that short track?
Yeah.
I personally love that better than Indy, just because Indy, I can't see the full track. I've always wanted to go to Bristol.
Bristol
if you have
cool.
never been to a NASCAR race and you want to go to one, you got to go to Bristol or Daytona. Daytona's not that bad either.
There's a couple of big ones, but I've been to the road course at IndyCar, the IndyCar road course at Indianapolis Motor Speedway. Got tickets to the 100th running at the Indy 500.
Wow,
that was cool. That was cool. And then the last year that the MotoGP was here, I went and watched. I went to every day of motorcycle racing at the MotoGP.
I've never really been into motorcycle racing.
Dude, it's weird, and to be honest, I probably would never do it again, but it was so cool. Like,
for real?
Literally, bro, one of the coolest things I've ever seen. But moving into, and I've been to the IndyCar races at IMS too, but moving into Formula One, whoo, don't get me started.
Let me break it down.
Formula One.
So... I'll try to run through as much as I know because I follow the free agent. I'm a free agency guy. I love free agency when it comes to pretty much anything that I know.
Right.
You got Fernando Alonso going to Renault, and I may botch some of the names.
Fernando Alonso to Renault, Sebastian Vettel.
They're turning into Alpine. Alpine Racing is what
they're Renault's going to Alpine. Sebastian Vettel to Aston Martin.
And that, I really think, like, you're getting such a big backer in Aston Martin. I wonder how good, because Aston Martin is going to be Racing Point. So Racing Point's turning into Aston Martin for people that don't know. I'm really excited to see how that goes, which also means Sergio Perez is leaving Aston Martin, a.k.a. Racing, FKA Racing Point. We'll see where he ends up.
I wouldn't be surprised, to be honest with you, if he ends up at a McLaren type of team.
Yeah.
Would not be surprised. A McLaren and Alfa.
Well, McLaren, you have to look. They've got Norris and Ricciardo already ready to go for next season. So that probably isn't happening.
Alfa Romeo may not be a bad one.
Who buys the Williams charter? That's what we also want to see.
Williams is kind of met its time
I'm just saying, do you somebody's got to buy it. Like, you can't, it's just not going to go unbought. I wonder.
It'll get bought, but again, I think it'll kind of stay at the level where it's at, where they kind of just crash out.
And then Mercedes, Valtteri, he re-signs with Mercedes.
Valtteri Bottas and Lewis Hamilton.
Is still undecided. We do not know where he's going.
My guess is he'll end up re-signing. I think there's just going to be some hype and some drama around it that he may not re-sign. But I think that Lewis Hamilton is going to end up re-signing with Mercedes. And
yeah, I have no doubt.
For them, I think that's probably the best move that they can make. I think it's the best move he can make, too.
The team everyone thought he may was going to was Ferrari, but they are locked up next year with Charles Leclerc and Carlos Sainz. Carlos Sainz is also heading to Ferrari.
That was an interesting move, too, moving Carlos Sainz
over. I like Carlos, so I'm fine with this move.
Great driver. And kind of the thing, the big reason I feel like Sebastian Vettel is leaving Ferrari and not electing to re-sign.
There's a lot of tension.
Yes, there is a lot of tension. Charles Leclerc kind of came up in Ferrari and the engineers for his side of the team, I think, did a little bit better job with his car and definitely kind of put him in a better car than Sebastian Vettel. Yeah. And I think because of that reason that Vettel didn't have the standard of car that he's used to having and being able to compete in the way that he's able to normally compete, I think that that is a big reason that he is saying deuces to Ferrari and moving his way over to Aston Martin, which, again, smart decision on his part to move to a team that I think is going to give him
a
great car.
How a lot of people are like, he's going to retire. I don't think he wants to race. Oh, he still wanted to race. And that's why I was like, I think he's going to Aston Martin because I think they could be really good. And you look at how Racing Point's already done this season. They're doing really good finishing on the grid-wise. So we'll see how they do.
Yeah, it's a lot going on with Formula One. And like we said at the beginning, Formula One is a very in-depth, very not per se more complicated than the other two. But
no,
it is a different level of racing, a very different type of behind-the-scenes thing when it comes to racing. So, yeah, this kind of part of the podcast where we're going over racing, something that we don't normally do, honestly, was just something I kind of wanted to try out and see.
It's been a very big year as well.
Yeah, it's been a big year for it, and I kind of wanted to see how you guys, the listeners, would react to it, how you guys would take to it, if you would enjoy it or not. So please, if you guys can, leave a comment, hit us up on our Twitter page, 91.1WEDM. Or our Instagram.
What would y'all want to see?
What do you guys want to hear from us? Do you want to hear
some wrestling?
Right. Do you want to hear about some wrestling, UFC stuff? Do you want us to kind of just stick to the NBA and the NFL? Maybe throw some baseball in there every once in a while? Or do you guys enjoy this this racing segment that we did? Again, this is just kind of a test run type of thing that we're doing, but we do want to get your feedback. So, again, make sure you send us a DM on Twitter, 91.1WEDM, and our Instagram is the same handle as well. So, with that being said, we are going to cut this one off. We're recording this. We're at 25 minutes of talking about racing, which is something that,
not a bad time,
but we don't want to keep you guys too long and keep you guys with something that you may not necessarily want to hear. But, again, give us your feedback. Tell us what you want to hear more of, what you want us to hear less of. And as always, we do appreciate you guys tuning into another episode of the Inside the Huddle podcast. Another big announcement, too. We are going to start an Inside the Huddle version where we have this podcast that you guys are listening to now and also a video version of this, kind of a not necessarily a first take style type of show, but it's essentially just the video of us doing the interview, sitting down with our guests and stuff like that. So definitely some big things coming in the development of Inside the Huddle, and we can't wait to share that stuff with you guys. Once again, the one, the only Colin Echols here in the studio, joined by Isaiah Hoffman. Tune in the next couple weeks for another episode only on the Sports Voice of your Warren Central Warriors, 91.1 WEDM. Thank you all for tuning in to another episode of the Inside the Huddle podcast. As I said in the intro, this is our last episode for the first 9 weeks of the 2020-2021 school year. We will be taking a couple weeks off for fall break, but as soon as we are back from that, we will hit the ground running with a new episode. So hang in there with us, and we'll bring you another episode of the Inside the Huddle podcast in a couple of weeks, only on the Sports Voice of your Warren Central Warriors, 91.1 WEDM.